I think that as we grow up and we experience life, depending on what path we take, it shapes our views. I think right now you have the media, you have big companies, you have government trying to shape your views.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to this Business Monday episode of A Call to Leadership. We've got a three-part series, and this is our final episode in this series. I've invited Sam Sala and Travis Revelle, my Business Monday co-host, to shed some light on these aspects of what's happening at Twitter with Elon Musk, with Disney, and now this third installment on the polarization of society and how it affects us in business and in life, for that matter. If you haven't listened to the first two installments, I encourage you to go back to episode 49 and 52 and tune in. This is going to be a sizzler. Can't wait for you to listen in. I'm Dr. Nate Sala, and this is A Call to Leadership. The thing about political leadership, that's one of the things that's different about political leadership versus organizational leadership in a company, is that when you, just like what's happening at Twitter, here's our vision for the company. You like it, you work here. You don't like it, you leave. Doesn't quite work the same way in a country. Just because there's a new leader in a country doesn't mean everybody that doesn't support that leader's views and values is going to leave that country, right? They're still citizens, and you're still responsible to them. And so this creates a conundrum, because you have your constituents, air quotes, who supported your presidency, and you have promises that you made to them. But then you have the other half, which is almost a majority, and sometimes it is, who say, hey, what about us? And so you're right. And so you, then you look, okay, well, what leaders in the past have actually been able to cross the line, right? To be able to bind both sides together, and then the ones in the middle, what did they do differently, right? I mean, look at, like, you know, and some people would disagree, but look at like a Reagan, yeah, or look at even like a Clinton to some extent, right?
Or Kennedy.
They spoke to everybody.
Or an FDR. They spoke to everybody,
not just their constituents.
Right. You know? They were centrists. I think Bill Clinton today would probably be a Republican. I mean, he would be, because everything has moved so far to one side. You know what I mean? And so it's just this thing where it's like, we have people who just, they just want to hear what they think is right. They want their ideas to be validated, and they don't care about what anybody else thinks. And it's a train wreck, man, really.
And social media doesn't help.
Social media does not
because help. The algorithm actually has been shown to actually perpetuate that.
Absolutely.
Right? So the algorithm says, oh.
Algorithm's locked in.
Yeah.
That's what we say all the time.
Yeah.
Algorithm's locked in.
Yeah. You said the word MSNBC. So, okay.
Here we go.
Let's start inundating with that. So you won't see any Fox News, or just go down the line, Sky News, or any of the, you know, the more conservative viewpoints, and we're just going to enculturate you with what we believe the direction you're going in. How does that help to have actual real dialogue and a difference of ideas? Because you know this as well as I do, right? We tend to, the three of us, are more in the space where we'll analyze the different viewpoints, right? But every one of us, including our listener right now, has someone in their family, right, who says, I would die before I would turn on, fill in the blank, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, right? We probably tend to watch more CNBC than anything.
Or Bloomberg, right?
Like, I just say it. People want to be in the echo chamber. It's natural.
It's validation.
Validation of your beliefs.
It's validation. And listen, my dad listens to this stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, right? My dad is very conservative, and just to mess with him, you know what I mean? Like, when he comes over to my house, I turn all my TVs on MSNBC.
You're so bad.
He doesn't know how to change it. He can't work my remote control. You know what I mean? So then he gets mad, but you know what it does? It gives us, like, you know, he'll start arguing with me and stuff like that. But then it's like, it's an opening for us to exchange ideas. And I'm not liberal by any stretch of the imagination, right? But I'm a centrist, right? Like, I think people should be able to do what they want to do as long as you're not hurting somebody else. Like, leave me alone. You know what I mean? Type deal.
The bumper sticker.
Yeah, 100%. Just leave me alone. Like, just let me live. You know, leave me alone. But, you know, and he'll start, I can't believe you're raising your kids in this household, and they listen to this. And you know, it's funny for a minute, but it's like, you know, my dad and I have such a good relationship that then we'll just talk about stuff. You know what I mean? But, like, Yeah, no, we have, like, my wife has a side of the family that we literally have not, you know, I mean, there's COVID and there's all this stuff that's going on, but, like, we haven't seen them in probably 3 years because they have certain beliefs, and if you don't believe in that, they're not going to let it slide. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to keep pushing it in your face and in your face, and at some point you're just like, I'm not going to argue with anybody.
Exactly what we talked about earlier.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to argue with you because I'm not going to change your mind. You're not going to change my mind. So, like, why are we arguing?
You're not in the echo chamber.
Yeah. But it's sad because, I mean, there are family members over there that, like, we all miss. You know what I mean? But, like, you have to draw, like, for your own sanity, right? And just to enjoy life. Like, you know, I mean, all of us, right? Especially, I'm guaranteed the majority of the people that listen to this, right? Every day is a battle, one way or the other, right? Like, you're battling. You're fighting for your company. You're fighting for your employees. You're fighting for your family. Like, you're fighting, right? Like, I say it all the time, like, how was your day today? I fought today. What do you mean you fought today? I fought the government, right? I fought the insurance companies. Like, it's like, you know, when I'm home, I don't want to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to enjoy company. I just want to enjoy people. And I don't care what your political leanings are. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if you're woke or if you're not woke. As long as you're not pushing it onto me, I'm not going to push my stuff onto you.
That's the problem, though.
But that's the problem.
Because everybody's pushing everything on
you. Right. Like, you're not going to change somebody else's opinion. You're just going to entrench them further into believing that they're right and you're wrong. And tying it back into a business scenario, right? Like, as a business leader, you can't get into these situations, right? Like, the Disney thing, you have to think, what's the best for my business, you know? And how do I position my business? And you're going to have diverse employees. I have employees that run the gamut across every ideological spectrum, every religious spectrum, and we celebrate every religious holiday equally. You know what I mean? Like, we give, and we learn about everybody's religious, you know, holidays. Everybody's political. We don't talk about politics. Like, you know, there's the old saying, like, you don't talk about politics and money.
And religion.
And religion, right? Yeah. Like, those three things. Society was probably a little bit better when we didn't talk about how much money we made, you know what I mean? And shove that in somebody else's face. Talk about who we voted for. Right. Talk about, you know, which God we serve and why that God is so much better than yours. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. Mind your own business.
Mind your own business.
So I think, you know, I come from a different, I would consider myself pretty conservative, maybe even borderline libertarian, because I actually want less government than conservatives want. I don't think the government does anything very well.
I agree.
In my opinion. So I probably am a little bit into the libertarian part, but I come from two parents that are liberals, very devout liberals, right? Which is crazy to me because none of the values were liberal values. It's weird. It's, they would say, you know, like, how, why are you not like that? I said, well, open a business and employ people and have a couple daughters and your views on life will change.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. This is true, right? So I think that, you know, we are influenced by our parents for sure. But I think that as we grow up and we experience life, depending on, you know, what path we take, that shapes our views, right? And I think right now you have the media, you have big companies, you have government trying to shape your views.
Mm-hmm. You definitely, the media is definitely trying to shape your view.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, I'm going to go out and say it, the media leans left. I don't think that's anything we can debate here. I think everyone agrees that. So I think that these agendas are kind of, they used to just report the news. Like, there is no, like, news people anymore.
Walter Cronkite.
Like, they're
Reddit.
Yeah.
Let you decide.
Yep. That's gone. So now we have this machine that is an echo chamber for some, right? And for others, they say, oh, I don't listen to this all day, so I'm going to go to this other echo chamber that's going to be more my beliefs, right? But I think that just creates this division. Like, I have friends that I consider family that I love more than anything that I pretty much disagree with 99% of everything they believe on a social, political scale,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Believe in bigger government. Government can change stuff. Government should be more involved in our lives, which goes against everything I believe, right? Government should not make the decision of how I raise my kids, what I decide to do. It needs to enable me to grow my business and employ people, not become a hindrance, right? So we disagree on 99.9% of it, right? And we know that we will never agree, but we don't look at each other any differently. And when we're together, it's amazing.
Well, and that's the decision you've made, and that's a beautiful place to be. I tend to look at the media as marketing arms, right? They're advertising.
Right.
And so the left is advertising to me because my parents are immigrant Palestinians, right? They say, you know, your marginalized community, hey, we're your people. Mm-hmm. The right is advertising to me because I appreciate empowerment over entitlement, right? And they say, hey, we're your people, right? And it's like everyone's advertising because they want your vote. And so I then take that and look at it through the lens of, okay, what is your motive? If your motive is you're going to speak to a need that I have because you want my vote, then I need to look at the entire picture and look at, you know, where you are as a whole and what's the actual purpose of my vote for you. I mean, does it actually get things done in ways that I, you're right, you're smirking, right, that are in congruence with my value chain? And the answer is generally no. Yes, on some level, but really, like I look at marginalized communities in the 50s to today, right? Is it better in a lot of ways? The answer is, I mean, in those communities, because I work and I've lived in those communities, and the answer is, well, Nate, it's not much better, right? We're still, it's the political system has not been the influencer in how we've been able to progress the human condition. It's people serving people outside of politics. It's communities. It's the religious organizations who are actually doing some binding and saying, you know what? You might be Catholic. You might be Protestant. You might be Muslim. You might be Jewish. You might be Hindu, right? But we're all in the same community. We're all one community. So let's work together, even though we have different beliefs. We have a combined value, and that's humanity. Years ago, I stopped putting my race on, like when I go to the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. I started putting, you know, because it asks you, you know, Pacific Islander or mm-hmm. I don't yeah. even know where those come from anyway, right? Hispanic, right. Non-Hispanic. Right. It's like, why are the Hispanics like separated from everybody else, right? Right. So I started putting human. And it was funny because I went to my doctor's office and he's like human. He said, I like that. And because that's what I am. I'm part of the human race.
Right. The funny thing is, and especially now with you can find out what you really are for DNA testing.
You can. And it surprises people.
What kind of mutt are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is kind of a story, but this is interesting, right?
So yeah.
My entire life, I'm growing up, right? Everybody's like, we have so much Native American in our family tree, right? Like my great grandmother, we're talking early 1900s, Poplar Bluff, Missouri, right? Cherokee Indian, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like I got a lot of Native American and I have a darker complexion. You know what I mean? Like I'm more of an olive skin tone and stuff like that. And so that was it. Right. And so, you know, this has probably been about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago when it first came out. So I took the thing, comes back and I'm 0.1% Native American.
Wow.
0.1%, right? Nothing. I'm 15% Western African.
Brother, we didn't even know this, you know?
15% Western African, right? And then I've got a little bit of Asian, right? Like there's like 3% like Asian. But I immediately, right, was like, okay, like interesting.
Is that Northwestern or Southwestern? You got me.
No, it's
Central Western.
No, it's Western African. I mean, it is 100% like, yeah. And the interesting thing about it is it will show you where in your family tree, where these different ethnicities were in play, right? And it was my great grandparents, one of them was African. And my family on my dad's side, right, they're from the South. So I had to be kind of cautious on how I kind of presented this. And so I got my mom a test and I had her take it, right? And she's like, 98% Wales, but both my grandparents came from Wales, right? So she's Welsh. She's 90% Welsh. So there's no African.
Right, there, right. Check that box.
Check that
right.
box, you know, and I'm circling the wagons, you know, I'm circling the wagons. I know what's going on. I'm circling the wagons. And so I get one from my dad and I'm like, hey, I'm like, take this. I'm like, I'm, you know, he's always interested in like genealogy and stuff like that. And so he's living in Florida at the time. So I sent it to him. He's like, okay, I'll take it. And I hadn't heard back from him for like 3 or 4 weeks, which is a very, very long time to not hear from my dad, you know? And so I call him and I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, nothing, what's going on? And I'm like, nothing, kind of chit-chat for a minute. I'm like, hey, I'm like, did you get your results back? He's like, yeah, I got my results back. And I'm like, anything interesting? He's like, you already know what it said. You know, he's like, I get it. If I were your great-grandmother in the late 1800s and I could pass in southern Missouri and I could pass for a Native American, he's like, I would. And I'm like, no, me too, exactly right. But my dad played college football and he was a track runner. And he's always like, they always called me the fastest white boy. And I'm like, I don't know if you can technically get away with that now, anymore. Dad. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So that title.
So, I mean, I think like, you know, we all
what does that do? What does that do for you? When you know,
I mean,
that changes.
So I would say like, for me, right? I mean, I've always, I mean, we have an extra, I mean, I call my family, like on my wife's side, the United Nations. I mean, literally, right? Like, I mean, there's every color, creed. I mean, it's a very welcoming environment, right? So for me, it was like, this is cool,
yeah.
Right? Like, this shows that even though 99.99% of people who just saw me would be like, white dude, you know what I mean? No, like,
yeah.
I cover multiple continents, multiple races, right? Like all these people came together to make me, you know what I mean? Like you said, I'm a human.
Yes.
There is nobody, I would doubt, unless you're in some very, very rare ethnic group, right? Everybody is a mixture of everything. And I think if people actually knew that, it would change their perception of who are we fighting for?
100%. In fact, there was a movie that I watched years ago, and Sam, you would understand this very closely as well as I, because the Palestinians and the Jewish people have had a big conflict in the Middle East for many, many years, right?
I like how you just...
You like that academic version of it? So there was a movie where this Palestinian guy, or this Arab guy, he wasn't Palestinian, but he was Arab, he finds out he's actually Jewish. Right. And he's like, first he has this existential crisis. Then he starts embracing, you know, Jewish culture and that. And as I watched the movie, it was like kind of like eye opening. It's like, we're just people. We're brought up in a certain way to believe certain things. And as we get older, we have the choice. When we're young, choices are made for us. But as we grow up, we then get to make choices for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's a time for us to start thinking for ourselves, not turning on the news to tell us what we should think for the day, not letting our background dictate what we should believe, but understanding there's a much broader view of life and that we don't sacrifice our identity. In fact, I believe that we enhance our identity when we can embrace the fact that the diversity that's inside of us is actually a strength, not a weakness.
100%.
Well, it's like tribalism, right? It's like everybody needs to belong to something.
Why can't we just belong to the human race, right?
Like, that's my whole point.
Yeah.
It's like, if, you know, less of that, you don't have to belong to something. We can all be,
you know, what it would take.
Each other is the same.
And this is, I would love to do a podcast on this, you know, because there's so much stuff coming out, like where the government's releasing about like UFOs.
Yeah. Now it's a thing, right? We always, yeah.
Like
the
thing. There's so much, and there's so many things about like, we are getting so close to like full disclosure. And then it talks about like, how they've used movies to start to condition people, right, about this stuff. What's going to bring the human race together is when we find out there's another race.
We're not alone.
We are not alone.
All of a sudden,
believe that.
Then that's a uniting factor. Because why? Because now we're tribalism on a larger level, mm-hmm. right? Like, nothing's going to bring the world together more than finding out there's another species out there that's more advanced than us that could cause us harm. That's going to bring people. And it's so sad, but that's what it's going to take.
I would agree.
Some deep stuff right there. I love the way this is going. Business Monday. We're tackling business. Right. Some business. But that speaks to, I think it comes full circle. I think it's important to, like, as we're talking about all these subjects, it comes full circle with what we're talking about, what we started out with Twitter, mm-hmm. right? Yes, we have diverging understandings. Yes, we are different, but we're one humanity and we have a common cause to propel humanity forward. And I think that you talked about the DNA, right? The genealogy stuff. I think it's great to just do that. I mean, you know, people say, oh, I don't want the government having my saliva.
They have it.
But when I did mine, I was same thing, right? Sam, I mean, obviously we're related, so, you know, most of our DNA is the same, right? But I was surprised too. I was surprised. I was like, wow, partly from Cyprus. It's like, okay, wow, partly Phoenician from Tyre and Sidon, partly from Africa as well, except North Africa, which is Egypt. I knew that. Mm-hmm. But you start connecting, and part of it from Southern Europe, like Italy, Albania, mm-hmm. Greece, right? So you're like, wow, all these continents, little Senegal, by the way. So the first thing I think of is I tell my wife, it's like, we need to go to Cyprus. She goes, why? I said, so I can see my people,
right?
Right. I can go see my cousins in Cyprus. She's like, Cyprus, like, look at my DNA. It came back.
Yeah.
And you get connected.
Absolutely. And the crazy thing to me is like, so I don't know if yours, like mine tracked like the oldest female. It was like 4,000 years ago in the Middle East, right? For the oldest female in my lineage. And like the oldest male was like 2,000 years. And it's like, to think about how many people had to live, had to just survive for you to be here today. And you're going to worry about if somebody has a differing opinion on liberalism or conservative, like, you know what I mean?
So
like
it's so humbling.
It's so, it doesn't matter, right? Like none of this stuff really, really matters at the end of the day, right? Like it's just. And then I think about like my kids and how crazy their DNA is, because now you're throwing all this Czechoslovakian in there. And like, we are children of the world, and like, you know, it is what it is. Right. And I mean, we need to do a better job. The people, and maybe, you know, we kind of signed this up for myself. Right. I said, I don't tweet because I don't want to offend. Right. I don't want that heat, but there's the silent majority that's sitting out there that's not doing that. And I need to do a better job of stating where I'm at, because it's going to take people like us to say, this is what we really believe, you know, and not let the people who are the extremist control the narrative.
I'll make a deal with you. We'll make our first tweet this week.
Okay.
You make yours, cool. I'll make mine. And mine's going to be real simple. When I check my race card, it's human.
That's awesome.
I like that.
I like that too. I will retweet that.
So, dun, dun, dun. I'm going to ask the question. We'll play this 2, 3, 5 years from now. Did Elon Musk make a wise choice? Silence.
Oh, my God.
I'm saying yes.
Saying yes.
Saying yes.
All right. I want to say no so bad, but I also, I don't think it's going to be pretty, but I think he's going to get the job done. I don't want to say that.
I don't think
it's the right thing, but I don't want to bet against Elon Musk. I don't think that it was, let me take this back. Was it a wise decision? I would say probably not a wise decision. Will it be a successful decision? I would think that it will in some way, shape, or form be successful. But I think that if he would just stick to getting us to Mars, right?
We get there faster.
We get there faster.
Yeah. I'm going to share some of both of your sentiments and add my own twist to it. Yes, I think that Elon Musk can get it done. I think that today, more than ever, with his experience, 20 years ago, I think it would have been almost possibly catastrophic for him to take on this type of responsibility. He's in his second act. He's building his legacy. And most visionary leaders, it's their second act where they really make the mark. So I would argue that he's going to make this work. I do believe on some level that his focus moving to that medium is going to, at least in the short term, hurt his progress with his other organizations, because there's only so much of you. There's only so much you can do. And the same thing happened with Steve Jobs when he was between Apple and Pixar. You know, back in the 90s, 97, when he took back over Apple, when they were 90 days from insolvency, he had to take his focus and shift off of Pixar because Apple was hemorrhaging. And by the way, completely different approach. We'll figure out the future when the future gets here. But he was exhausted, and he could barely even hold it together. So I can only imagine how exhausted Musk be, even at his level of 3 to 4 hours of sleep at night, whatever it looks like. But I think in the long run, it's going to self-correct. I think that once he spends 3 to 6 months redesigning Twitter and gets back into the focus of having leadership teams at Twitter to continue to manage it, I think it's going to be a new animal. I think it's going to be an organization that I hope it progresses. I hope that the kind of free speech that he desires is the kind of free speech that the market will not only accept, but that it will breed new ways for us as leaders to share in a whole new way.
I hope so as well. I think Twitter's needed. I think it's an important part of society.
Yeah.
I hope he does a good job.
I would agree.
Okay. We'll see what happens. Until next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks. Well, my friend, thank you for joining me on this episode of A Call to Leadership. If you've been listening, you've probably heard me talk about our accounting and advisory business. And this show was actually born out of that business, those relationships. I found that entrepreneurs and professionals were missing aspects of their leadership that fed into their bottom line and helped their businesses be successful. So I'm so thankful that I've had all those years in that area to feed into this. And the truth is that so many people still need accounting and advisory help, and they don't know where to go. If you're in that place where you feel, oh my goodness, my tax person or my accountant, I can't find them, or maybe the service wasn't up to my expectations, do not despair. I'll leave how you can find us in the show notes, and one of my team members can do some discovery and help you along your journey. You're not alone, my friend. You always have help. I'm Dr. Nate Sala. Can't wait to see you on the next show of A Call to Leadership.